Neil. Appreciate the good singing. I'm thankful that the temperature was a little bit above freezing. The parking lot was not slick this morning, and thankful for that. We like study this morning on the subject, you don't have long to live. You and I do not have long to live on this earth. In fact is, I've already lived several years longer than I expected to. I'm 79, I'll be 80 in September. My father died at 68, my mother died at 72. And when I was 51 years old, I had a bad heart attack. My wife called the life squad and they had to shock me back to life. And in the hospital, I was in there about 30 days, and they had to shock me three or four times in the hospital. And doctors told them that they'd done all they could do, and of course, I was in the hands of God, and my wife went and bought some cemetery plots, and they were expecting me to die, but then I got better, and I'd lost 40 pounds, and I was so weak I couldn't even stand up hardly, being in bed for almost a month. But I'm thankful to God that he has allowed me to live another 28 years, a little more, and we don't know when we're going to die, but the important thing is that we're ready to die, that we've made preparation. And so no matter what your age is, you don't have long to live upon this earth. Maybe that you or I will someday be lying in the hospital and sitting on the doctor's examining table, and the doctor will look you straight in the eye and say, you don't have long to live. Sometimes the doctors will do that, not very often, but they'll tell a patient that you're only going to live maybe 3 or 4 months. You say, I hope that never happens to me. But did you realize that God speaks to every one of us, and he says to us in his word, you don't have long to live. Even if you live to be 100 years old, life goes by very rapidly. Our text is Psalms 39, verse 4 through 7. David wrote, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, my age as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. How upset would you be if the doctor told you that your time was short? Would you think of preparation for death? What about when God says you don't have much time to live? Do you think about preparation for death? Let's consider what David said in our text. David provides a most accurate description of the life of man. He answers the question of James 4, verse 17. James says, what is your life? He says, whereas you know not what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. When you look up and you see steam coming out of a pipe, and it just evaporates quickly. Life is a vapor, that which soon vanishes away. It quickly fades. The brevity of life is emphasized in the Word of God. David said that I may know how frail I am. And so we need to know how frail that we are. The Revised Standard Version says, how fleeting my life is. Life is fleeing, a thing which passes quickly. David says, thou hast made my days a handbreadth. A handbreadth is one of the smallest natural measures. It's the measure of four fingers. The measure of four fingers. We know it's very short. Again, this shows how short life really is and how quickly it passes by. David said, mine age is as nothing before you. God is eternal. It's hard for us to think of eternity, never ending. His existence is not in terms of time, but in terms of eternity. Matthew Henry said, all time is nothing to God's eternity, much less our share of life or time. In Psalms 90 and verse 4, it says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. Just think of that, 1,000 years as one day. Yes, God is eternal. The point is, we don't have long to live. David said, every man walks about like a shadow. The significance of the shadow in the Old Testament was a sundial. Man is like the shadow on a sundial. As the sun rises, the shadow changes, and then changes again as the sun sets. Yes, the sun rises and the sun sets. Life is like a shadow. In Psalms 102 and verse 11, my days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. We see our shadow, and then we don't. It soon goes away. Our life is uncertain. In Psalms 39 and verse 6, surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. Yes, men are so busy gathering up material things, and they don't know when they're going to die. Every day in the paper, the Inquirer, there's a long list in the obituaries. Many names of people have died. And sometimes I go to the internet and look at Somerset at the death notices if any of my friends that I went to school with have died. The other day I found where man, Bob Flynn, I went to school with him. He was a good ball player. And he was a coach. But he died the other day. My brother, he had a good friend, died recently. And so the older you get, the more friends, the more people you know, it seems to die. Men are anxious about this world's goods, but all is vain. They heap it up and do not know who's going to enjoy it. And so when we die, we're going to leave all that we have here, and someone else is going to use it. In the life of the rich fool, Jesus tells us about the uncertainty of material things. Notice here about this fool. He said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? This man thought he had enough laid up for many years, but he died. Your life is opportunity. In Psalms 39, verse 13, says, remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. Yes, in this life we have opportunities, and we should take advantage of them. All that is desired to be done must be done before we depart this life. Death is the point of no return. When we have departed, we have no more opportunity to do them. Job 10, verse 20 and 21 says, "Are not my days few? Cease, leave me alone, that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death." And so here Job is saying, yes, his days are few. Leave me alone. Yes, there comes a time when it's too late to do things that we need to do. In John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." And so we can't put off doing things that we need to do. Our life is short. We must take advantage of the opportunities that we have. David provides a sobering application of this description of life. The brevity, the uncertainty, an opportunity of life, no exception. Three times David said, "Every man," that means you and I. In Psalms 39, he says, "Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And with rebukes, you correct man for iniquity. You make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor." Every man, that you and I. Every man's death is appointed by God. Appointed in the sense that all men die. In Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And so it's appointment of God that we're going to meet, we're going to keep, we're going to die, and then be judged. Appointed in the sense that the end of man's days are known of God. God knows when we're going to die and leave this earth. In Job 14, verse 5, "Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass." And so God knows the time that we're going to die and leave this earth. There's a young boy telling about his dad, his father, how he wanted his son to have a better than he had it. His father had said that his son was not going to work for hours, standing up like he had, but was going to get a good education. The boy said, "So my dad opened a savings account with $10, and he put some in every week out of his pay. He had it all planned out, how I was going to college and everything. The only thing he didn't plan was on dying." Yes, he died before he had a lot of money saved up. You can plan on dying. And begin planning right now. For God's word says that you don't have long to live. The brevity, the uncertainty, and opportunity of life are unconditional. They apply to man's life even at its best. In Psalms 39 and 5, "Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor." What if man is healthy, or even healthy? Man's life is brief or uncertain. A lot of people who thought they were healthy died soon. I remember some of us were together at Kevin and Trisha's house. Brother Raymer telling how great he felt. He didn't feel like he had any health problems. It wasn't long after that he discovered that he had cancer, and he soon died of cancer. And so we don't know. We could have a cancer or something in us right now. What if a man is wealthy, Life is described for the wealthy in terms of brevity, uncertainty, and opportunity. Having wealth does not give a person long life. One may say, I'm planning to live a long time. I plan on living maybe to be 100 years old. But life is brief, uncertain, and opportune. I was told the other day about a woman. She's going to celebrate her 100th birthday on a Thursday. And they want to have a celebration with her. And she died on Wednesday before she turned 100 on Thursday. A friend that lived close to me, every day he'd get out, he'd walk, and he'd run, and he'd exercise, and I think he was probably in his 50s. And one morning they found him dead in the bed. All that exercise didn't help him very much. Yes, we have no promise of tomorrow. The brevity, uncertainty, and opportunity of life is applicable to life altogether. Nothing in this world or life is eternal. 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Not our bodies, possessions, houses, money, or anything else is going to last very long. All the material things are going to be destroyed. 1 Peter 1:24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and the flower falls away. Yes, we wither and we die. David asks a thought-provoking question, and he gives an answer to it. When David considered the answer to the question, what is your life? He realized that there was nothing in the world to give him hope. He saw that life itself and all the world had to offer would soon vanish away. In Psalms 39, verse 7, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Yes, David realized he had no hope when it came to the things of this world, that his hope was in God. Yes, when David eliminated what this life had to offer, all that remained to give him hope was the eternal God. My hope is in you. We must come to grips with the truth of David's question and answer. Jenny Wilson in the song put it this way. In verse 1 says, time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Verse 3 says, covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures that will never pass away. Yes, a beautiful song. If we honestly consider the truth about life, and the things of earth will see that they provide no hope. So let's not put our trust in material things, but in God. If all you have to hope for is a few more years of physical life, a few more possessions, a few more earthly pleasures to enjoy, then you have no hope and you're hopeless. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. And so this life is not the end. Yes, if you're not a Christian and a faithful one, this world, this life, and its things are all the hope that you have. And you're hopeless. You're without God and without Christ. Solomon found this out the hard way after he had hoped in this life and its things, and found that they offered no hope. Notice the conclusion that Solomon had. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon had all the riches and material things, but they didn't give him any hope. If you're a faithful Christian, you have treasures in heaven, a mansion now empty, just waiting for you. Hope of eternity in the presence of God. And so we don't have to be sad when we know that our life here will soon be over. I've emphasized these points to make you realize one point. There's disaster in delay. When one delays their obedience to Christ, it's disaster. When one delays being restored back to God, it's disaster. You don't have long to live. You may die today. There's going to be a lot of people that are dying every minute. We know Sister Letha. On one Wednesday night she was here. She looked fine. She looked like she was in good health. And then the next day we found out that she had died. And so we don't know when we're going to die. Yes, don't be sad about dying. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He looked forward to the time when he died and went to be with Christ. Yes, he looked forward to departing this life and receiving that crown of life in heaven. A song that we sang, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And so this world is not the home of a Christian. We're looking forward to a better home, a home in heaven. In heaven, there'll be no tears. There'll be no pain. There'll be no death. It'll be wonderful. It'll be a beautiful place. And so are we ready to die and leave this world? And so if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Yes, are you ready to die? You're soon going to die. If you're not ready, you need to obey the gospel. The plan of salvation, believe and have faith. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to his church, to his body. And be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And so you're going to die, and it may be soon, sooner than you think. Are you ready? If you need to obey, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?